a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms round him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate."
Sorry. Oh, thank you. Great. Thank you, Isaac. Those are probably familiar words to many of us, also conscious that we cut off the second half or part of the story, so we're just going to focus on the part we've read. Hopefully that's not too controversial. It's a familiar story of sin and a story of love. Firstly, sin. The younger man, the younger son, takes the wealth from the family, cuts all ties, disappears and goes and does his own thing. There's at least three different things that we see about sin in these verses. Firstly, it's offensive. It's as if he's saying to the father, I would rather you were dead so that I can have the money that I will inherit when you die. It was definitely a cost to the father that he left the family home. The father would have had to sell things in order to send him off with this wealth. So it's offensive. Secondly, it's rebellious. The way that he goes off and lives is completely against anything that he's been used to, what the life at home would have been like. The part of the story we didn't read, we're reminded of the, which we probably should have done now in hindsight, we're reminded of the older son who was at home farming, tending to the family business, earning his keep. Whereas the younger son is rebellious. He takes his share of the wealth and squanders it. So we've seen that sin is offensive, sin is rebellious, and the effects of sin are catastrophic. He ends up in a faraway country with no money, no food, Jewish boy feeding pigs for a living, and the living doesn't even amount to anything because of the famine. He's basically starving to death. Sin is offensive, rebellious, and catastrophic. When he comes to his senses, he realizes all of these things. He says in verse 17, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" In those verses, he realizes that he's rebelled against his father's authority. He wants to go back under that authority. He realizes what a catastrophic mess he's made of his life. There are people in his father's household who are better provided for than he is. What is he thinking of the father in those moments where when he comes to this realization? What is he thinking of the father? He gets some things about the father right. He knows that the father is the one who has authority over him, and he's rebelled against that. That's why he says, "Father," or he plans to go back and say, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you." He knows that his father is in authority over him. He also knows that his father is a kind and fair man. He expects that if he goes back, his father will have some degree of pity on his starving son and give him a job, take him on as a servant. He knows this man to be a kind and fair man who provides for his staff. But he gets one thing badly wrong. He completely underestimates the father. He's expecting a handshake, maybe, a contract, some sort of arrangement. He's not expecting what he gets. It's a story of sin, but it's also a story of love. We read in the second half of verse 20, While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms round him, and kissed him. For the father to have seen him coming, the father must have been waiting. The father must have been watching, hoping, maybe not expecting him, but hoping that he would come back. The father never stopped waiting. And that shows us that despite the rebellion of this son, despite the offense he had caused to his father, there was nothing that he could do. There was nothing that he could do to break his father's love for him. The father loves him. He doesn't love his actions. He doesn't love his attitude. But he loves him. There was nothing the son could do to break that. And so when he arrives home, he's not given a handshake, but a hug. He's not given a job, a meal, a roof over his head. He's not merely rescued out of pity. There's not an awkward standoff. He's welcomed with a hug instead of a handshake. Such is the father's compassion towards this lost son. It's a beautiful picture of the love that God has for sinners. I wonder if you see anything of yourself in the way the son behaves. We all turn away from God. We enjoy the good things that he gives us without enjoying him. Like the son, we must come to our senses and humbly accept what we are like without him. That our sin is offensive and rebellious and has catastrophic consequences. But then we must look to the love of the Father. We should look to his love, his compassion, his grace. For we can be accepted just like the sinner, the son is in this story. Our Lord accepts sinners in the way that the Father does in this story. So you don't need to go to him and confess your sin and then promise that you'll work for him or promise that you'll try harder. No, you can go to him and confess your sin and be made his son. Reinstated, restored, brought back into the family. Just like the son in this story, we have a debt to our Heavenly Father that we can't ever repay. Just like this son, we have a loving Heavenly Father. His love goes beyond anything we can understand or imagine. It's unexpected, lavish, extravagant. The son in the story underestimated his father. He wanted a roof over his head, he wanted a meal, he wanted the kindness of the father, but he wasn't expecting the welcome he got. Because of our Lord's great love for us, time after time, we can come to him, we confess our sins, and we are accepted. I'm going to read some verses from Ephesians chapter 1. In love, God predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. And then talking of the Son, it says, in him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Before we come to take of the communion elements that have been left out for us, we're going to sing two songs that help us to reflect on just how great God's love is for us, shown to us in Jesus Christ, and also helps us to reflect on our lostness and our need of that love. So let's stand and sing together the first two songs. Get your seats. Let's bow our heads in prayer together before we come to take of the Lord's table.